Hey, welcome to DC On Screen. I'm David C. Robertson. Last week we talked about a whole bunch of movies, DC movies, that never happened. They were, for a time, being written or planned, and for whatever reason they got the axe. It was part one of DC movies that never happened. So we talked about movies like the Bill Murray, Ivan Reitman Batman movie that was penned by Tom Mankiewicz. We talked about Tim Burton's Batman Forever, a ton of Joel Schumacher proposals, and there was even a Joss Whedon Batman film. Anyone who's seen the Avengers or is a Firefly fan or a Buffy fan, y'all, we'd kill to see that, right? Go check out that episode. We talk about a whole bunch more. This week, Jason and I talk about Wolfgang Peterson's Batman vs. Superman, George Miller's Justice League Mortal. Again, Joss Whedon. He did a Wonder Woman movie, and we talk about it. And honestly, more Superman sequels and reboots than you could shake an oddly phallic Kryptonian crystal at. Why were those shaped that way? Anyway, enjoy part two of DC movies that never happened. Wolfgang Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
This was a movie that was going to be Batman versus Superman.
To me, this Wolfgang, is where, as far as the movies that are being produced, we've completely turned a corner, right? We started trying to not know if it was camp or not. It's almost people that had just watched Adam West. And now we're back to, or we went through the stage where people are just, we're just all trying to recover from Chris O'Donnell. And we get all the way back now. Now we're making real movies again. Now we're back to, hey, you remember how he's called The Dark Knight? What if we did some stuff with that?
Yeah. Chris O'Donnell, let's mention the least egregious thing about either of those movies. Anyway.
Well, it's the one thing that stands out, and least egregious is,
Don't let me get you sucked in, man.
The least egregious could not possibly be applied to Chris O'Donnell appearing in those films. He's older than Clooney. He looks like he could buy Clooney beer, and no.
Oh,
all right. Good.
Anyway, so Wolfgang Peterson's Batman vs. Superman, the villains, Lex Luthor and the Joker, the screenwriters, Andrew Kevin Walker and Akiva Goldsman.
Who appear to have done a really good job.
The movie begins with Bruce Wayne getting married. He's been retired for 5 years. His wife knows nothing about his past as Batman, but on their honeymoon, his wife is killed, and all signs point to the Joker, who Batman thought was dead, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Batman comes back. Meanwhile, Lois has left Clark. Clark stops a big terrorist attack in the opening of the film, and then serves as Bruce's best man at the wedding before going back to Smallville and rekindling a relationship with Lana Lang. Batman's going crazy trying to find the Joker, and it's eventually revealed that Luthor and the Joker have teamed up. And Joker, it turns out, actually handpicked Bruce's wife and molded her into a woman Bruce would fall in love with and give up the cowl for.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow, in the course of the film, Luthor and Joker manage to get Batman and Superman to turn against each other. Batman has a kryptonite suit of armor, and the two fight for a while, and then, you know, rekindle their bromance in time to stop Luthor and Joker. There's apparently a bit where Batman is about to kill the Joker, and Superman tells him he'll stand by Batman's decision as long as he takes off his mask. The dialogue from Superman to Batman reads, "Don't hide behind it. Don't pretend there's some other part of you doing this. This is your right as a human being, your retribution. So do this as a man, or as the man who's going to live with it for the rest of his life. Take off the mask." And Batman spares the Joker.
If that's the tone of the movie they wanted to write, this is a loss. This is a great loss.
Now, I'm not big on the Batman being retired for 5 years.
No.
Everything else sounds pretty good.
Any version of something where Batman quits is immediately going to pull me out of it for a second.
That takes points off.
It does. It takes points off. There is no version, you know, fuck Rachel Dolls. We can sum up that argument as fuck Rachel Dolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here we have a version of it, but the rest of it just looks like it gets onto such a good track so quickly. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It takes points off. It doesn't disqualify you.
Yeah. Apparently, Sam Dickerson, the head of the Peterson's production company, said, "Let's write this as if we want this to be a movie that gets considered for an Academy Award. It's not supposed to be some kind of disposable pop culture. We wanted to take the character seriously." I can't disagree with that.
Nope.
That would have been really cool. Nope. I mean, the bat retiring, that would have been weird for me, but
it looks like they were going to take care of that in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, if he hasn't done it in 5 years, I mean, that's going to be a rough ride trying to come back. And I would have probably had problems if they didn't kind of explain why Batman's not just, like, really off his game.
You know, it's easy enough. You can set him up with some sort of hobby that happens to keep him in extremely good shape. Like, he's a mountain climber now or something in his spare time.
Right.
So he has to actually be in good shape. So when he gets back
to maybe
Batman,
he still trains.
Not too far.
Right.
Like, we can get out of that one.
That brings us over to George Miller's Justice League Mortal. So this happened in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
They ordered a script for a Justice League movie. Kieran and Michelle Mulroney, who wrote Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, were writing.
Not
and
a
George
good citation.
And I know. And George Miller of Mad Max, Babe and Happy Feet was going to direct.
Anyone that you can put that list together for.
Yeah, you know what? I give it to him. Mad Max, Babe, and Happy Feet?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, but I'm
I don't
intrigued.
Know where to categorize
I'm damn
that
intrigued.
Horror? So this, is that possible?
They were talking about
money
doing this
grubber.
As they were talking about doing this as sort of like the what was that the Beowulf movie?
Yeah,
the motion capture stuff, which looked awful to me, and I was glad they didn't wind up doing this movie if for no other reason that we don't have to see a motion capture Final Fantasy Justice League on the big screen.
Right.
But the cast was actually pretty inspired in places. Arnie Hammer as Bruce Wayne, Batman.
Fine.
DJ Catrona as Clark Kent, Superman. Adam Brody as The Flash. Megan Gale as Wonder Woman. But there were a bunch of script problems. Apparently, shooting location disagreements. There were lots of big problems. They kept kind of going back and forth on the script, and it kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back until it was shut down in 2010, which we all know what was happening. Green Lantern.
Right. Now,
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and I'm still... one day I'll spend more time talking about how much I mourn the fact that that didn't work. But this is where you hit a critical turning point for DC or WB, where they look at Marvel and kind of realize, oh, that's the ticket.
Right.
So we're not going to do the Justice League and then try to spin off five movies from it. No.
Because
if you don't like a character, you may not show up for Thor. But what you will do is if I show you all of these characters and promise you that the Avengers is coming, you will watch.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting
fill the dreams
is
my ass.
This has been a weird thing for DC in general, because this is 2007. They ordered the script. They didn't shut it down until 2010.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Knight trilogy wasn't even completed.
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to recast Bruce Wayne and just have a separate little universe. Yeah, they just wanted to have a separate Justice League universe there for a minute outside of the Batman Begins universe.
Mm-hmm.
This is still a problem with these guys.
Well, they had to have somebody else in mind, because Bale was going back and forth on whether he wanted to do them and how long he wanted to do them, and he flipped.
I mean, Bale has
there was some waffling.
Bale has always been against doing Justice League, Alien stuff, Robin,
yeah,
anything that wasn't just the absolute epitome of dour was the only like everything outside of that was just off limits for Bale. Like, he was like, no, we're not doing anything that's,
and I gotta admit, for the Bale he
fantastic.
Was for the Batman he was doing, you know, some of that would have been a bad call. Robin, for instance, I don't know a version of Robin that I thought would have fit in the Dark Knight trilogy anywhere, including the one we saw. We'll get into that at some point.
Alright, so
back
once
to Joss
again,
Whedon.
We're back to Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon was going to write and direct a Wonder Woman movie. He got between $2 and $3 million for the role of writer director, and Whedon started writing the script. It was apparently going to be an origin story about Steve Trevor plane crashing onto Themyscira, and then it would eventually move over into Man's world. Whedon said that he was reluctant to cast from an unfinished script, but Warner Brothers kept wanting him to announce somebody.
So they could go ahead and start printing off toys.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
They were trying to talk to the Barbie people about whether they could make a Wonder Woman to Barbie.
And then eventually, according to Whedon, he turned in an outline in 2007, and they didn't care for it. He says, besides Wonder Woman's great origin story, there's nothing from the comics that felt right 100%. No iconic canon story that must be told. Batman has it made. He's got the greatest rogues gallery ever. He's got Gotham City. The Bat writes himself. With Wonder Woman, you're writing from whole cloth, but trying to make it feel like you didn't. to make it feel like it's existed for 60 years, even though you're making it up as you go along. But who she and what the movie is about thematically has never been a problem for me. But the steps along the way, it could be so easy for them to feel wrong. I won't settle. She wouldn't let me settle.
And so he settled on doing the Avengers.
They parted ways.
Yeah. And this is twice now that the WB has failed to get it up for Joss Whedon doing Batman and Wonder Woman.
I mean, how many ways can you screw a thing up?
I don't know. It's twice, man. This is twice.
I know.
And they didn't know. Maybe they didn't know. And you got to wonder if Whedon will ever consider going over and helping him out with these movies now, because they kind of shut. And he was having what looks like a particularly poor run of success there for a second. I'll grant him that, because Firefly dies. He's rapping Serenity about the time he starts to try to do Wonder Woman.
Right.
And Serenity did a lot better than people thought.
Serenity dies.
But he's trying to close the book on a property that was canceled way before its time. And trying to open up this new catalog of possibilities, and they just keep slamming the book on his hand. Nope.
Now, the day before Whedon departed from the property, Warner Brothers and Silver Pictures bought a spec script from a couple of cats named Matthew Jennison and Brent Strickland. Their version of it saw Wonder Woman in World War II. It was a period piece. Warner Brothers did not like a period piece. They wanted it in a modern setting. It turns out that Joel Silver, he admitted that he just bought the script to keep it off the market and to stop the rights from reverting to anybody else.
And for anyone who hasn't caught on to that's how this shit works, well, that's how this shit works.
Yeah.
You make terrible movies sometimes just to keep the property and to keep the rights, because otherwise they'll expire on you. And it's a use it or lose it kind of contract a lot of the time. The best example ever, possibly ever, and still going, is that Fantastic Four film that came out.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the title of it. I think someone dropped about $100,000 on a Fantastic Four movie. Guess what that gets you?
I don't remember the specifics of it, but Matt Carroll, from the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, was telling me he actually had a plan a couple of years ago. I think this was the plan. We sit down, we write really good spec scripts that no one will ever actually use, and just sell them to producers or to executives to keep so that they'll buy them up, pay us handsomely. But
you get about 120 grand for that script still.
Yeah,
for the final
version
of that,
you
can make six digits off that. That's a fine living. Once a year, you manage to get that done.
Make it amazing.
Because
they'll never use it.
And these are the cats you can run into at an LA bar somewhere and go, well, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a screenwriter. And you're looking at his watch going, dude, what have you been involved with? Oh, you've never seen anything I wrote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, clearly,
I've been involved in a lot of trash cans. That's what I've been involved with.
Some of the there's a great bit from The Critic, the old John Lovitz cartoon, where he writes the script and turns it in, and they're telling him, like, oh yeah, it was great. And he's like, oh cool, when's it going to go into production? And they're like, oh no, sweetie, no, the good scripts don't go into production. And he like brings up this glass case from the floor, and he's like, this is where I keep all of the scripts that are too good to be made into movies. And he's just picking up scripts and naming them off, and he's like, Revenge of the Nerds 5, oh, how did you get in there? And he goes over to the phone, he's like, yeah, I've got a script. We need to put it into production immediately.
That's not right.
Anyway, obviously, the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie was supposed to have sequels.
It was supposed to work.
In some cases,
Why didn't it work?
Poor marketing and constant re-edits. That is exactly what happened.
Yeah, the constant re-edits will get you every time. Now, the marketing, I mean, spare them on, because they were like, it's Green Lantern. We got Ryan Reynolds. We're done here, right? We're good? Okay, I'm going home.
Right.
They checked out on Wednesday afternoon to have a 5-day weekend.
There were sequences in that movie where I was looking at it and going, oh my God, this has been edited to hell and back. They didn't have the shot they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know what to do with it. And I can recognize that.
They ran out of money to go CGI it into a shot they wanted.
Anywho, there were apparently going to be at least two more sequels involving the yellow power ring that we saw teased at the end of that with Sinestro, which, by the way, most of that movie was done really well. So screw WB. I mean, screw them. I don't care that it didn't make his money
whoever
back.
Whoever didn't
him.
Spend enough money. I don't know. I watched it in a theater. I spent my money. I did my part for King and Country.
We're going to
support
jump
you,
on.
Ryan.
We're going to, well, he will support you too in the upcoming Deadpool movie.
Bless his heart.
Which has nothing to do with DC.
And yet, come on, we're all going to go watch it, right?
Yeah.
You can have a favorite. It doesn't mean you don't like the other kid too.
Yeah. All right, on to Superman 5. Superman 5. Now, this is jumping back into like the early 90s. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, had come out. Mm-hmm. It was awful. The Salkinds actually owned the property at that point, not Warner Brothers. Superman 5 was apparently going to star Christopher Reeve. They were going to do the death of Superman storyline. And Alexander Salkind says that the script was frankly the best one since Superman 2 or 3. Which isn't saying a lot.
No, but he says, it is at least acknowledging that it wasn't like 4.
Yeah. It was Brainiac and the City of Kandor encapsulated. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could have dealt with a final Christopher Reeve movie if it was a notch more towards Superman 2. But obviously we didn't get that. Now it was probably this probably took place like a year before Chris Reeve actually had his accident. So he would have had time to actually...
Destined for failure.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, is if they had thrown this into production, if they had actually done it, he probably would have been too busy filming Superman to actually get in the accident.
I don't know. It was a hobby. He might have found time anyway.
Maybe.
We'll never know.
And there were rumors for years after that they were going to find a way to digitally put his face on a Superman. But, I mean... We still don't even have really good technology with that. No, I mean, it's getting there, but...
No. Go find the clip of Terminator here recently.
Right.
We're not there yet.
Well, apparently we are, because they did 3D mapping in Hunger Games, and they're gonna a bunch of the Philip Seymour Hoffman scenes in the last movie are going to be done that way.
Oh, good.
Because he didn't get a lot of his stuff done, but...
No, he didn't even get close. I was
wondering. Then we get to Superman Reborn...
Mm-hmm.
After the death of Superman storyline, Warner Brothers bought back the rights from the Salkinds because, I mean, who needs that shit?
Mm-hmm.
And this was apparently a kid-friendly reboot with lots of toy-based possibilities. They wanted lots of toys. It was going to be Brainiac, Doomsday, Parasite, and Silver Banshee as the villains.
Because
and,
WB got this back and immediately forgot all of the lessons Schumacher had taught them.
Well, I mean, this was before the Schumacher debacle. They were actually looking to...
When was this?
This would be before. This would be probably 95, Can't 94, be. 95.
I mean, Smith was brought in to rewrite. It's got to be late 90s at least.
Yeah, no, but it was like 97 around the Superman Lives time. Because they were really wanting to do Superman as a companion piece to their Batman films. But when Batman and Robin... flopped so magnificently at the box office. A lot of the Superman projects and a lot of the superhero projects died for a while.
Just got popped right in the middle of all that madness. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're.
Let's be completely clear here. Batman and Robin nearly killed this industry in its infancy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, infancy. You say infancy. I say toddlerism.
Toddlerism might be more fair.
I just wanted to say toddlerism.
You just want to work that into the language somehow?
I did.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so this would have been about probably 95. We know that Kevin Smith had already released Clerks and Mallrats by this time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was probably about 95,
Well, he
96.
Released Mallrats, and someone saw Mallrats because they were already an industry insider. And they knew about Clerks and knew about this new up-and-coming guy. And they saw him and realized he had referenced the characters. So they just start throwing money at him.
Yeah, yeah,
and
you understand
himself,
this.
He he clearly didn't actually want to take a swing at anything. Like, they kept asking him to write these things, and Smith mm-hmm. kept telling him, like, you realize these guys over here write this for a living, right? You know, that
right.
they're doing great stuff. Like, why don't you talk to, I mean, have you talked to Frank Miller?
And they were like, those are the comic book guys.
Right.
They don't deal with us.
Now yeah, we're in that same area, but it's different now. It's slightly, because now WB's, they should be taking from some of the stuff on television that's working out well for them and making them money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still their mentality is, oh, those are the TV guys. They don't know how to do a feature film.
Well, the mainstream mentality is that, you know, oh, well, this has got to be better because this is real. That's how people think. This is real.
Right.
And I'm saying none of it is real. There are still actors playing the parts. I don't, just because something is animated doesn't mean, I mean, I don't, having a actual human face to look at, does it change the story? Oh, okay, never mind. So yeah. Kevin Smith was brought in to rewrite, as Jason said, and he described the Superman Reborn script like the Batman TV show version of a Superman movie. Very campy.
Sounds
so, of course,
terrible.
That brings us to Kevin Smith's Superman Lives. He wrote the script. They offered him the job, and he wrote the hell out of the script. And but with the
you're
caveat,
you're gonna say yes eventually to that. You just are.
I mean, sure, but there was a caveat that Warners could make whatever changes they wanted. Those changes are well documented in An Evening with Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And this begins the Superman
funnily
Lives.
Documented as well.
This is essentially the beginning of the Superman Lives debacle. That can be, it has been discussed in a movie they just put out as a, someone just put out a movie on this. It's called The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened. It has been released already. It was released on July 9th or July 8th. It has been released. Yeah, it has been released. I plan to watch it. Apparently, we've been very wrong about a lot of the stuff that was in this movie. Over the course of many years, because so much stuff has not been released. And now with this documentary, a lot of people are saying this could have actually been a pretty badass Superman. I can't speak to that, but Kevin Smith has talked about how
I'm
John Peters...
I'm willing to listen to it as a possible idea, just mm-hmm. on the basis that Kevin Smith does actually love this character. And he can write. It's not a matter of that. And he himself makes fun of how he writes action, because he doesn't. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. It's I'm willing to listen, but, man, you look at some of the stuff that's on this, some of the changes, and how was the yeah. John Peters thing?
Yeah, John Peters, this well-documented in An Evening with Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. You can find that clip on YouTube. But John Peters didn't want any flying. He didn't want a Superman to fly. He didn't want the red and blue costume. And he wanted a giant spider in the third act. So the script has no origin story. This is some sort of compulsion
that John Peters has as a human being.
Uh-huh.
The giant spider in the third act. It's, I don't know what it is. Maybe he's got a tiny little Marlon Wayans-esque demon.
Oh, they certainly do, because Warner Brothers wanted a sassy, gay R2-D2-like robot, an alien space dog.
They pulled every word that was trending for that.
Yeah.
They,
an alien space dog that to be marketed to children,
right.
And Superman or Brainiac, one or the other, fighting polar bears.
They really, this is early days of the internet, so I don't know where you find a trending list, but they found it. And they just glommed all the words together. Until they made what seemed like a reasonable topic, or at least a subject and verb, finally. No. Alien space
now,
dog. Superman fighting a polar bear. Although he has heat vision, so I guess he is technically fighting those polar bears the whole time.
No, there was no origin story. Superman and Clark Kent are
a known
part
commodity.
Of the status quo, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Superman and Lois are in a relationship, and apparently in Smith's script, they actually play with that a little bit. There's actually a reveal that they are in a relationship. I believe they play upon the old dynamic of, like, oh, Clark, I wish Superman was here. Ha, 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 ha. Anyway, right. So the...
I'm
the
sure
script
he's doing
has
a couple
been,
of decent jokes about that.
The script has been leaked online. It is so many places. You can have this script on... I'll put up a link. But you can find it. You can download it. You can read it. You can read what could have been Kevin Smith's take of Superman Lives. Which
and
brings
I,
us.
I haven't tried the documentary. I intend to watch it, but I am going to go back and read that script front to back before I watch that movie or the documentary.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Tim Burton was brought in,
mm-hmm.
which brings us to Tim Burton's Superman Lives.
Mm-hmm.
Burton came in, brought a couple of his own writers. It was rewritten a few times, from what I understand. They kept Kevin Smith's Thanagarian snare beast,
mm-hmm.
which was the giant spider. They added a Plutonian claw beast as well.
Doubling down.
Yeah. But they changed, they stripped out all of Smith's dialogue, which is...
Probably the best part he had in there.
Yeah.
That's...
But Burton's take would have seen a 30-something semi-retired Superman played by Nicolas Cage, who, for some reason, knew nothing about his Kryptonian heritage. Brainiac, mm-hmm. which apparently was going to be played by Christopher Walken. There's actual... apparently this movie unveils concept art for Christopher Walken as Brainiac, which I'm not against. That would have been cool.
No, that could work.
He shows up, teams up with Lex Luthor, rumored to be Jack Nicholson, to find a piece of technology Jor-El sent to Earth called K, which would protect Superman and bring him back to life if need be.
Mm-hmm.
Brainiac and Luthor block out the sun, unleash Doomsday on Superman, and they fight to the death. So the K, or the Eradicator, which is a suit here, brings Superman back, but Superman doesn't have his powers, so the suit acts as his powers until Superman regains them. Brainiac and Luthor merge into some kind of super evil creature, and the K suit is destroyed in the process, but they kind of play it like it's a sacrificial friendship thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, Superman returns and leaves Clark Kent behind. He, abandons all of his humanity, but apparently is suddenly, at the end of the movie, mysteriously in a relationship with Lois Lane at the end, and he wasn't at the beginning, so that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Just she was rumored
Sandra
to have
Bullock
been
there at the end when you need to sell something
she,
out.
She was rumored to have been played by Sandra Bullock, by the way. Mm-hmm. They got really far into pre-production on this one, but Batman and Robin tanked. Warner started cutting funds, and Burton left. And Nick Cage whined about it for years and said he hoped he could find somebody who would do the movie and blah, blah, blah. That script is also floating about online.
By the time it was over.
Yeah. But what's weird is apparently they take the one thing that Kevin Smith didn't write in that script and they added it in. They took something from a different Kevin Smith movie. The Superman and Lois can't have children situation. The conversation, whatever it was, the conversation about why Superman and Lois could never have children from Mallrats, and they stuck it in this movie. Kevin Smith had left that out of his take. He never even brought it up, apparently. But
right. And it really does sound like someone saw Mallrats, thought, well, that'd be an interesting take on Superman. Hire that guy. He comes in, that guy, comes in and writes an entire script that has nothing to do with the one thing he hired him for. And as soon as he pushes that guy out the door, he puts in the one damn thing he wanted.
Yeah. He's like, damn it, Smith, all we wanted was... The Man of Steel coital debate. We wanted the Man of Steel coital debate. That's all we wanted.
Right. He just wanted to rewrite the Mallrats scene with less cussing and put it on.
Yeah. Now, okay. So this, we're in a situation here where we are about to prove to you that Superman Lives, either Kevin Smith or Tim Burton's version, was actually, for the most part, on the right track, because then we get J.J. Abrams' Superman Flyby.
Right. Which, when you look at some of the, just the base ideas that were being tossed around, I don't know, it does feel a little Abrams. It's like a Superman-inspired acid trip.
Yeah, now this is a script I read. I actually read it years ago when it first leaked.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for the backlash. I was on Ain't It Cool News watching that.
By the way, this would have starred none other than Henry Cavill, right?
Probably not. He did screen test. Henry Cavill did screen test for Superman for this movie.
Because the man looks like Superman. What?
Brett Ratner was going to direct, and he wanted either Josh Hartnett or Jude Law to be Superman. But neither one of them wanted to commit to it. to the all the sequels because this was the first of a trilogy.
Matt Bomer done that. Actually, both of them probably wish they'd done it.
But Matt Bomer was considered. Tom Welling from Smallville was considered. He was already on Smallville at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Walker was considered. This thing went through a lot of different iterations. Brett Ratner had left the production at some point and was replaced with McGee, and then he left. It was written by J.J. Abrams. It was the first in a trilogy. They denied Abrams the right to direct the movie because he was untested at the time.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is crazy as hell. Krypton is not destroyed. Never destroyed. It's taken over. Like in this version, Jor-El is like the king of Krypton.
Sure.
And like it's overtaken by like opposing forces, and I mean they've got like wars with cousins, like there's like a civil war and shit, like it's sure. really weird. So like we have like a Moses situation where like Jor-El like sends Kal-El to Earth to get so he won't get killed basically. And Jor-El goes into hiding, which of course a bunch of Kryptonians end up coming to Earth and unleashing Doomsday or whatever.
I don't know. Of better times
anyway,
and places?
Never mind that. Jimmy Olsen was apparently gay, and there were apparently a lot of like disparaging gay jokes in the script. Like, and I do remember it. I do remember reading those and going, okay, well, okay.
Why are we doing gay bashing in a Superman film?
Yeah, which it mostly made sense, but they had written Perry White as a really homophobic asshole. And he was the one doing all the gay bashing, and then you have Jimmy Olsen being like, he's an asshole. Okay.
Which is an actual response to being bashed.
Now, you know, right at the beginning, though, it describes all of these martial arts that the Kryptonians know, and they have, they're doing like, this is like Matrix shit while they're in the sky. And even Superman somehow knows martial arts. He's like a kung fu master or some shit. It's really weird.
Codex, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So Lex Luthor, Chris Reeve was. He was hired as a consultant. I forgot he didn't die.
That's where you got it.
I forgot he didn't die when he fell off the thing, off the horse, you know? And I thought, I was like, no, wait, acceptable. He was dead. And then I was like, wait, no, he was in a wheelchair for like 20 years.
He was hired
as a consultant. Like, I was like, how did I read that and put that down in my notes?
I don't know.
Lex Luthor, here was the fun thing about Lex Luthor, and it was awful. He was a UFO nut, CIA agent.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's revealed that he's, like, literally Superman's brother, and he's Kryptonian.
They made him Mulder.
They made him Mulder, who winds up being Kryptonian.
Right.
Now, there were lots of weird things in this script. There's actually a rundown that I'll post. It was a review from the supermanhomepage.com.
Mm-hmm.
I will post a link to that. And they pretty much hit the nail on the head for the most part. There's like a weird Ma Kent rape scene where like freaking Clark like almost kills the dude who was trying to rape her. It was like the landlord or something. Like it was just real weird stuff. There's a super poop joke.
Mentioning the words Ma Kent rape scene, I may never get an erection again.
I know.
Those are not words that are supposed to go together. I feel dirty.
I know.
I feel dirty even having thought about it.
But they did a super poop. Apparently his poop smells worse because he's Superman. This is a thing that almost happened, people.
This actually showed up. This actually showed up.
And if ever in your life you look at the later seasons of Fringe or you look at the later seasons of Lost and you think this could have been so much better if J.J. Abrams was involved, remember super poop and Ma Kent rape.
Think
that's
to
what
yourself,
I want you to remember.
Bad robot.
Bad robot.
Right.
Terrible robot.
Terrible, ill-conceived robot. He actually probably would have been a lot better if he had let whatever that fucking robot is write that script. That may have been how this happened.
Yeah.
Again, where I get back to I think people just have algorithms they've devised and they throw in a bunch of kitsch words and see what comes out. And it came out super poop.
Right.
Because Warner apparently Brothers there just really is him. No God.
Oh. yeah, there are a lot of weird, egregious things in this script. And if you can't find a copy of the script, at least go read this rundown.
Or just spare yourself entirely crazy. And forget that you've ever heard anything about the words Superman Flyby.
Yeah. Why would you call it that? That's such a dumb name. Because
that's the amount of editorial revision that was done before someone admitted these ideas.
Right, right.
He
Abrams did.
Through it. Thumbed through Abrams, it at lunch before a 1 o'clock meeting. That's what he did.
Abrams did. He came out and he defended himself. He was like, well, what was leaked was the first draft. And then like a separate draft later on, like a heavily revised draft was leaked. And apparently it was like all the bits that everyone hated were still in there.
He doubled down, I'm sure. No, sir. You do not come out and apologize for this. I want pure contrition.
Which people always ask me why I had a problem with J.J. Abrams rebooting Star Trek.
Because you did.
You
remembered
well,
Ma Kent rape scene and thought, I don't want Scotty to get plunged.
I mean, I haven't had the best experience with Mr. Abrams. I watched Felicity, and yeah, it was an awful little teenage drama, but the last 5 episodes involve time travel suddenly and inexplicably and don't make any damn sense.
Mm-mm.
And J.J. Abrams was all over that.
What I understand about that is he got to the last few episodes and kind of realized, no one can stop me now. Like it's what I imagine goes through a president's head in the last like 2 months of his term is, well, what are you going to do, impeach me? Takes longer than that to get that started. Fuck it, I'm doing whatever I want.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had already filmed, on Felicity, they had already filmed all of their episode order, and they had filmed the final episode. Felicity graduates from college, and she and Ben wind up together, and they go off, and la 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 la. Mm-hmm. And then the network kind of went, oh, man, we screwed up. I mean, you guys have been doing pretty good in the ratings this season, but we've got like 5 weeks that we don't have anything on the schedule for. So could you go ahead and make like 5 more episodes?
Kind of pop out 5 more of those. Nah.
And so they kind of have to like go back and rewrite that happy ending and be like, and then Ben cheats on her. So she takes a mystical drug that sends her back in time and relives the year in a different way. No part of it made sense. It was awful. But apparently, from what I understand, J.J. Abrams was really excited about that. Just like, time travel! Anyway.
He frightens me. He frightens me. And I did. I watched Fringe straight through.
Well, I mean, he only had something to do with, like, what, the pilot?
No, I think, I don't know, I forget the details on that, but...
Yeah, he was like, he wrote like the pilot, and then the EPs for the show were Bob Orsi and Kurtzman and Orsi, the guys who wrote the first 2 Star Trek movies of his. And mm-hmm. then, like, of course, they got too busy writing, so they moved it on over to a couple other guys, and then they got busy and they moved it on. The showrunners changed on Fringe, I think, every year.
Yeah, by the last season, the janitor was clearly writing.
Clearly writing. So, of course, instead of Superman Flyby, we wound up getting Bryan Singer's Superman Returns. And even though there was a disappointing box office, they were going to do a sequel. It was going to be called Man of Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have had Darkseid as the villain, which was kind of confusing because I thought it would for sure have something to do with that super kid that he sired. But whatever.
Probably that, but at least if it's Darkseid, he's probably going to have to punch something at some point.
Yeah, but hey, thankfully there was a writer's strike.
Oh.
Thankfully there was a writer's strike, and the Brandon Ralph contract
destroyed
was up.
So many shows that I love.
Yeah, but hey, it spared us Bryan Singer's Man of Steel.
I know.
By the time they got back around to that.
Anyway.
Yeah, well. I miss heroes being good. What the hell do you want, man?
Right. I mean,
all right. So apparently, and I remember this coming out, this news leaking, and thankfully it went nowhere. There was apparently going to be a Jack Black Green Lantern movie. The mm-hmm. idea was to take Green Lantern, turn him into a comedy adventure vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Black would have been producing Looney Tunes type projections from his power ring.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, that's all the news we have on that, because nothing ever happened with that.
There's,
which is my proof that there is a God,
right? On the whole, WB, I feel like if we were keeping points and they started at 100 at the beginning of this conversation, you know, they're somewhere in the 40s maybe by now. Mm-hmm. If we're just taking off points for every bad decision, this right. gets them into the 60s. This gets them back into the 60s not doing that movie.
Man, I mean, what's weird is like right before that, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they had a cartoon. It was a Looney Tunes cartoon,
mm-hmm.
and it was a takeoff. It was a weekly show. It was a takeoff on some of the old cartoons, the old Daffy Duck cartoons, the Duck Dodgers of the 21st and a half century or whatever it was, 24th and a half century.
Gotcha.
And they had a it was like Daffy Duck as a superhero running around in space. And in one of the episodes, they did a mock crossover with Justice League, and Daffy Duck joins the Green Lantern Corps. And I feel like an executive was watching TV with his kid one night and saw that and went, oh, that's what we can do with Green Lantern.
And then turns to someone or gets on the phone with someone and asks them, has Jack Black signed on for Nacho Libre yet? Okay, good. We can still use him.
This was not that long ago.
Was it not?
Either. It was really not that long ago.
I don't know. I just assumed it would have been before that period, like when Jack Black was kind of peaking a little bit. Shallow Hal area.
No, this was definitely after that. Scoop Jack Rock. Black had, well, come and gone as far as I'm concerned.
He's come and gone a few times.
Yeah.
He's a resilient bastard, that one.
He is.
Hell of a singer.
Yeah, did you see him on Jimmy Fallon the other night? They were doing a cover of More Than Words by Extreme. Like, Fallon and Jack Black were doing it. They actually kind of knocked it out of the park.
I believe it.
No, I
didn't watch it because I saw that title somewhere, got the song stuck in my head, and hated Jimmy Fallon for the rest of the day.
That's fair.
That's how that went.
Oddly enough, I wound up watching that video, and I was in real danger of having More Than Words stuck in my head. And then I saw Sugar by System of a Down in the related notes and wound up watching that. So I got Sugar stuck in my head for the next day.
You poor thing.
I know.
Anyway.
So on to Green Arrow, Escape from Supermax. This was going to involve Green Arrow being thrown into a Supermax prison facility where he'd have to fight his way out. As like the beginning of the movie, he's thrown into this prison. He has to fight his way out. It's like mm-hmm. Arkham Asylum. And
well, that's how I heard it described. It was like the Arkham Asylum game, but with Arrow and on film.
Right.
Yeah, man. Let's do that.
Yeah.
In fact, if this isn't on the table still, wherever Geoff Johns is, hopefully he remembers the idea and has mentioned it to Berlanti.
Well, yeah. Well, let's
three-part episode.
Pull back, because this was a David Goyer script.
A David Goyer joint?
Yeah. And he claimed that he had the Riddler, Lex Luthor, and Joker cameos lined up. There was going to be A, B, and C list villains there.
He's going to run into the five-eyed man or something. Or the five-fingered man, whatever his name was.
And then just nobody gave a damn, so they just stopped talking about it.
Because you take out the Goyeriness. And I can imagine Stephen Amell running around a prison trying to get out.
Yeah.
And I imagine I would watch it. I can also imagine, say, for instance, Diggle secretly getting a security guard job so he could help.
Right.
Felicity hacking most of the systems over there at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Flash undoing a couple of locks at an opportune moment.
I hate to say it, but I think you've killed this project for me.
You know, pretty much destroying an entire wing to create a distraction.
I really hate to say it, but I think you've killed this movie for me.
Why?
I don't know, but there's just so much about it that just... Maybe it's just all the Arrow elements.
I don't know. I'd love to see it in the Arrow. I know what it is. I know what it is, and it's your scarring. This is your emotional abuse showing, because you've seen the word Goyer. And you're not crossing this bridge, no matter what.
I mean, you know.
I'm not saying I blame you.
Some wounds can't be healed.
I get it. I watched The Dark Knight Rises, too.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I think that does it for us on all of these movies. What do you think would be, what are your top five? What would you like to see? If you could choose five of these.
If I could just grab five that I think should have happened. Or even that I wish had just been produced, period. Because I'll take Bill Murray Batman. Mm-hmm. I'll take my chances that that's the worst piece of shit I've ever seen. Because yeah. there's a chance that it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I'm pulling that one out. I'm pulling out Batman Triumphant. Or Batman, what did he actually name it? Unchained.
Oh, Unchained, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that one out of the hat and let it go ahead and...
Should have been called Batman Unnipped.
Right. I'm going to let that one go romp around. Probably... Whedon's Batman, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, I'm going to concur with you, though, that if Goyer was in charge of Green Arrow Escape from Supermax, I'll pass.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the least interesting one on the entire list, I think.
I think it'd make a fine movie. But more importantly, what it I think it'd make a fine, like, two-part episode of... Like, make that the crossover episode in season 4 of Arrow.
Yeah, I mean, they could.
Give me a two-parter. I'll be fine.
They could.
Like, it... Somehow he gets thrown into jail. He's helping Flash on Tuesday night. Somehow that gets him in jail. And Wednesday night, they all have to go help him out. Okay.
Yeah.
What else would we have here? We're done with the Schumacher stuff because he gets unchained and then that's it. He's only mm-hmm. earned that.
Mm-hmm.
I might have wanted to see that poorly named Dark Knight. Dar Knight, I suppose. Just because that would be a fun version of the Scarecrow, and I still want to see what they mean by his sense of touch is off, so it tightened his other senses, and it made him a living
Scarecrow. I don't get a feeling it gets any deeper than that, man.
Part of me just wants to know what the fuck they're talking about. And I want to see an analgesic Scarecrow. Anyway. Then number 5 gets kind of hard. Kind of hard to do. I might just have to pitch in wildly that I would like to see one of the Green Lantern sequels.
Yeah. For me, I wouldn't want to see the Green Lantern sequels unless they were actually going to go along with that line and do Justice League and all of that, with Ryan Reynolds in the role.
Understood. He could still come back and it made me happy.
If I had to pick any of, like, 5 out of this list, mm-hmm. I'm going with Kevin Smith's Superman Lives, which, you know, I'll take as Tim Burton's Superman Lives as well. Like, I would love to see what Kevin Smith would have done with it and Tim Burton's Superman Lives. I've always kind of wanted to see a Tim Burton.
Without studio edits? Or do you want to actually see what is it now? I can't even remember how those words go together.
Well, I can read
Alien
the script.
Alien Space Dog.
Yeah, I can read Kevin Smith's script, but mm-hmm. I actually want to see, like, that was kind of part of what became Tim Burton's Superman Lives. They copied a lot of the story over. So mm-hmm. I guess I'll choose that as one. Superman Lives, just
Except
in general.
That giant spider ended up in Wild Wild West, did he not?
Yeah, and if you listen to Kevin Smith, Kevin would say that, I mean, he did say, and in their Man of Steel review, that the polar bears made it in, like, the world engine looked a whole hell of a lot like a giant spider.
I don't know. That looks spiderish.
But yeah, I want to see Superman Lives as would have been directed by Tim Burton. I want to see Christopher Walken as Brainiac. Well, I mean, it barely Smith's script at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually would. I would love to see the Bill Murray Batman. I want to see the Joss Whedon Batman.
Of course. I want to see that little kid say, you know, it's okay, I can stop them, and realize it. That's $10 I wish I didn't have.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen Wolfgang Peterson's Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I might give up my Green Lantern sequel for that.
Definitely
Green Lantern sequel you're doing.
Like, screw Green Lantern sequel, man. if that's the choice I've got to make, that's it.
No, give me the Coast City story and everything, and I'll consider it.
Now I'm tempted. Like, I'm torn, and because I kind of want to. I really do. I want to see Batman Unchained. I would want to see all those villains show up again.
Yeah, I'd like to see those stories combined. It'd piss me off to the end of time that they'd recast Batman in the middle of it, but, you know, we can do about that.
But at the same time, I really would have loved to see Schumacher's Dark Knight. Because if you look at the Dark Knight, like, there are certain... I mean...
His Dark Knight Returns?
Shit. Yeah, Dark Knight Returns. I mean, if you look at certain scenes in Dark Knight Returns, like... This shit ain't nothing but neon. You could have made a case that that's where he was heading the entire time. Like, slowly we're getting more 80s and 80s and, like bad, you know, bad 80s.
It's a redundant term.
Design. No, I don't think so.
Very because little of the aesthetic that was established in the 80s is worth remembering.
At this point, it's fun, but...
Everyone looked very tacky for those years.
Yeah, what's weird, though, is you look back, like, you say that in the 90s, and you're like, oh, God, everybody's so tacky. And then now, like, people are looking back on the 90s going, like, oh, what were we doing? Why were we wearing all that flannel?
We were recovering from the 80s.
I never got past the flannel. I'm perpetually stuck in the grunge look.
Sorry, the flannel's comfortable. What do you want me to tell you?
The flannel is comfortable. And that's about the beginning and end of that argument. Like, the flannel is comfortable.
Period. Move on. Would you like a blue or red one? Cool.
I have no place in my life for high-rise jeans. Anyway.
Get you some double-barrel JUCOs, baby.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick, like, I really want to see that fifth Batman movie, but I also want to see that Dark Knight Returns. I want to see Clint Eastwood as the Bat. God, I really do.
Yeah. Now, all right, which one of these are you most thankful you'll never get to see?
Oh, well, I mean,
Let's take Jack Black off the table.
Well, I'm going to take it off the table because I would have never seen that. I don't care. I'm doing the podcast same as I would have, and we would be bringing that up at some point, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, I forgot that was a thing.
Never seen it.
And then moving on, I'd never see it.
That really, due diligence aside. It's that dark spot that, you know, all the time we're talking about the animated stuff, it's always, oh, yeah, and Mystery of a Batwoman. Just don't ignore that one. Ignore that one.
You want to do the five we're most happy we didn't have to see?
I could stick with just one, because a lot of these are that was the point of this, is the WB failed us.
Yeah.
But which one did they save us from? I got to say Flyby.
Flyby, really?
I got to say Flyby. If you told me every one of these movies was available, and I'm going to have to sit down and Clockwork Orange style watch them, and I was allowed to be reprieved of one of them, I'd pick Flyby.
It's going to be a tough call for me, man. I mean, even though it's on my other list, I'm going to have to probably say Superman Lives. or Superman Flyby.
Bill Murray, though, because there's at least the chance that that would have ruined both Batman and Bill Murray for you.
That is impossible.
I think it's impossible, but we'll never know.
No. I don't care how bad that movie is. Look, Batman and Robin didn't ruin George Clooney for me. Like, I look at... Well, like,
George Clooney, for me, didn't require ruining. I was already pretty much off that train.
Why?
George Clooney's
a really good actor. He had the brilliant... When they announced George Clooney as Batman, I was over the moon. I watched ER.
You had seen ER. You had seen...
I was looking like, you know what? Doug is he's a smooth talker. He is. I could easily see him being Bruce Wayne. But at the same time, that character had, like... a darkness to him. Like, there's a shot where, like, Juliana Margulies goes up to the roof and Doug is on the roof and it's like snowing and it's night and he just turns around and he glares at her and I was like, that's the Bat. That's the Bat.
Oh,
I've seen George Clooney do some very dark stuff, and then Batman and Robin came out
on him.
And they put nipples on him and had him go, hi, Freeze, I'm Batman. And I was like, oh, man,
they even gave him that damnable credit card.
Yeah,
how do you not walk off the set when someone hands you that prop?
Unless you're Adam West, I don't see how you don't. Like,
and Adam West is—he's a superlative being, is what he is. He can pull that off, and I'm fine. But
yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
yeah. Superman Flyby. That was, I think, yeah, I'm going to have to go with that one, too. Because I am more interested, because I was an old-school Tim Burton fan. Like, I liked Tim Burton up until about the point he did Planet of the Apes, and then now I've just fallen off. Everything I've seen him do, almost everything I've seen him do since then has been utter shit.
I haven't watched him in years. I can't watch him put Johnny Depp in any more makeup in my lifetime. I've hit that quota.
I did kind of like...
I didn't know I had that quota, and then it was suddenly there, and I realized, oh, no, I've seen this before.
I did kind of like Sweeney Todd, but, man.
Well, because it was a musical, and it
was
different
but
then.
It
does a pretty good job with musicals.
But, you know, I just haven't really cared for Tim Burton since Planet of the Apes. And but back in the day, I was all about Tim Burton. And what brought me to that was, one, Batman, and two, the Beetlejuice cartoon. Because about the time I was into the Beetlejuice cartoon, I kind of turned around and there was Batman. And I'm getting like the trading cards and stuff as a kid. And I'm looking and they're like, here's director Tim Burton. And then it like has little parentheses, you know, and it says Edward Scissorhands, Beetlejuice. And I was like, what? I don't think it said Edward Scissorhands. That came later. But it was like Beetlejuice. And I was like, what? And then it had Michael Keaton listed there with Batman. And, you know, Michael Keaton, Beetlejuice. I was like, what?
And your tiny little heart was inspired.
So, you know, from, I mean, I loved Edward Scissorhands. I loved, you know, Beetlejuice. And, and The Nightmare Before Christmas is still one of my favorite movies. So, of course, I kind of really want to see a Superman Lives. Even if he did, the bastard, give me Batman Returns. Oh, man. What a terrible, terrible jaunt that was.
Well, as we've discovered several times during this conversation, at the studios, you start losing control of that franchise.
That's
pretty early on in the process.
No. That's why they started doing that. Like, they kind of had tight reins on him during Batman, but pretty much gave him what he wanted. Then Batman was such a success, they let him do whatever the hell he wanted for Batman Returns.
And okay, so it was after that one where he started to really lose his reins a little bit. So then we're back to my fuck McDonald's argument.
Like Warner Brothers.
This is my standing theory, is that McDonald's was one of the first dominoes that fell, like those damnable Happy Meals. That's where the dominoes started falling, and we get to the Batman and Robin era, and we almost didn't make it, man. We're in a world where I'm about to go watch Ant-Man in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
fucking man.
I think that's a different movie you just said.
No, that is an entirely different movie, probably.
I don't think that movie is being released.
No.
If it is
straight to DVD, probably.
There are definitely going to be some parents complaining about that.
If there's a mix-up at the projector booth, yeah, there's going to be a real problem. Or, well, I say projector booth. What I mean now is apparently copy of Windows XP. You hang out long enough in the theater, and that's what you see.
That's a weird thing for me.
Yeah, and they never update their ActiveX. They never update it.
They never act.
Every theater I've been in,
I've seen that too. I've seen that too.
Is way out of date.
As is ActiveX.
Right.
It's really still okay.
Yeah.
That's gonna do it for us this week on DC On Screen. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Google+, Facebook, or DCOnScreen.com. If you're looking for, by happenstance, a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast in a similar vein as what we're doing here, go check out the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find us there, too. By the way, I didn't mention that this time, oddly enough. Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall cover all the Marvel Cinematic Universe news, and they have reviews, and they're a couple of funny guys. So go check them out. They're friends of ours. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us. Go give us some good ratings and reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We would really appreciate it. Really helps us out. Join us next week when we're doing a little review for Batman, The Brave and the Bold, a fantastic animated series in its own right. We'll see you next week. Take it easy.